That's one of the new things God is doing in our church. God is bringing all kinds of new babies, but we also believe that God is doing a lot of new things. And one of the new things is that God is giving us an increasing vision for our neighborhood and our community. This is a picture of Newark from a distance, and we believe God's put us here in this neighborhood, in this community, Newark, because God wants us to be a light to this community. Over the next 3-4 months, we're going to be really seeking to reach out to the people in your lives and in your worlds, and also to the people in these neighborhoods. We hope that God will bring new people into this Sunday worship to know Him, to meet Him, and to experience His grace, to hear His gospel, and to have their lives transformed, made new. And so that's part of what we pray for. And among the ways that God is doing these new things in our church, a lot of different things are happening this Sunday. First of all, this summer, as we've been talking about, we're about to start our summer servant leader development internship. And that's where college students who are coming back for the summer, we're going to spend this summer really kind of training them, encouraging them, teaching them how to serve as Christ served us. And so it's a leadership development program that 3 days a week they'll be here at church for the morning, praying together, growing in the Lord, studying together, and also planning ways that we can, as a church, reach out to the community. I first entered this church when I was 20 years old as a college student. I felt God called me here because He wanted me to reach the kids that were here and also the kids in our neighborhood. And I believe that God is calling our new generation of college students to the very same thing. They are our future. They are the ones who are going to build the next generations of our church. And so as part of that, the person who is going to be coordinating our summer leadership development internship is Denise, and she's back this Sunday. Denise, will you stand up? Everybody, let's kind of welcome back Denise. And Denise, we want you to know we're going to be praying for you, because we know that anytime you're in a leadership position for the Lord, it gets tough. But we know God is with you, and God's really going to bless that ministry. So look out for the things that are happening with that. In addition, it's not up there, but actually on July 3rd, we're going to have a barbecue to celebrate the graduates. And so all high school and college graduates, hope you guys will join us for a 4th of July barbecue. And we'll also do a little celebration of you guys. Other things to anticipate, our All Home of Christ Summer Retreat is coming up in August. Sign up information is there in your bulletin with the website that you can go to sign up for summer retreat. So far we have a huge number of people who haven't signed up. We have zero actually from our English congregation. And so God, really on a I know a lot of you guys have been chatting about it, talking about it, thinking about it. It's time to get on there and sign up so we know you're coming, okay? But also in addition to that, another new thing is that for some reason God has given this church in Newark, who's ever heard of Newark, this connection with UC Merced. Who's ever heard of Merced? Just kidding, guys. And so a whole bunch of our graduates from UC Merced, let's hear it. There you go. Yeah. For some reason, a whole bunch of people from our church, Wilson and Sonny, and now Daniel, are headed out there. And I'm really excited because Sonny, who grew up in this church and who is my brother, has felt called by God to do a year of ministry internship at InterVarsity and UC Merced. He's going to basically dedicate the next year to serving and helping to grow the InterVarsity ministry at Merced, which Wilson is part of, and maybe Daniel will be part of that too. And so I want to encourage you guys. Sonny, do you want to stand up and everybody can... Yeah. I want to encourage you guys, if you guys are interested in being a prayer supporter or a financial supporter of Sonny, he's going to rely in his ministry on the prayers of the brothers and sisters who are sending him there. And we really believe that God calls us as a church to support and send out all of our folks who are going off to college, all of our folks who are going out to the mission field, and all the people who are serving Christ. And so Sonny has been called from our body to go out to serve Jesus in Merced. And so I want to encourage all of you guys individually, whether you are young or old, whether you have financial support to offer, or whether you're just going to be somebody who commits to praying for him on a regular basis and hearing about his ministry. If you're free at lunchtime today, Sonny would love to tell you a little bit more about what it means to be a supporter. So you guys can hook up with him at lunchtime. We're going to go to Los Gallos, I think. So catch him there, okay? Or after service. It is Communion Sunday, and let's prepare our hearts to take communion after the message. But first we have the word preached by our head pastor. Let's welcome up Pastor Lai. Oh, sorry, Pastor, I forgot prayer. Oh, man. Rewind. our new English pastor, Dean, is going to lead us in prayer time. So actually, where's Dean? Come on up, Dean. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. All right. Good morning, everyone. A lot of things have happened in the last couple of days. And well, let me just fast forward. You know, for me, a very big part of our gospel is the tension. The tension when the spirit meets the flesh, the tension when the good news is being proclaimed in the fallen world. And on Friday night, this past Friday night, I was helping out with the youth group, right? I was there for 3 hours, and I got a phone call from someone who was really close and was really dear to me. She was pregnant. 14 weeks, she had twins. And when she called me, she could barely talk. And she was crying really hard because she just found out the day before that she's lost both babies. The day before. We're on the phone for like a good 10 minutes. We barely exchanged words. We're both crying. And that really got me to think. When I look around six, I see so many new babies, so many blessings. And I think about this person who's so close to me, and my heart just broke, you know. And, you know, and then there's a tension right there for me. And that really got me to think about the fact that that God loves the babies and their mother more than I ever will. You know, it got you really think, and that got me really think about the gospel and why is humanity so important to God. Okay, let's start from the beginning. God created man and woman in His image after His likeness. Okay, somehow, somewhere, something broke. Okay, and we have this fallen world. People fell, the creatures fell, and even the angels fell. Remember in Ezekiel? Do you guys read the Bible? Ezekiel? Even the angels fell. 1/3 of them from heaven. And of all the creation of this entire fallen world, Christ came to save only a group of them. Okay? The angels, the heavenly beings, they fell. They made one bad choice, one really bad choice, once, and never get a second chance. Why? And look at people, look at this humanity, people who occupy planet Earth. We've made so many bad choices, and we get second chance, third chance. You know, we have so many different opportunities. Why? And then how about the animals? We never read about in the Bible if animals, you know, go to heaven. Why? Why is humanity, why are people so important to God? Ever think about that question? Okay. And then that's when we have to go back to Genesis and read the original specs, you know. God created the world in 7 days. Why is day six so different? And then you read this very important verse in chapter one that we realize we are made in His image after His likeness. That's why we are so important. We're not just biological beings. All the things that happen up here, it's not just a combination of bunch of chemical reactions, and we're more than nerve transmitting information messages to one part to the other. We're spiritual beings, and that is our identity. Okay, and one day when we see Christ, when we see God, when we come before Him, He's gonna say, "You Matt, you Katie, you Xing," He's gonna say, "My son died for you. That's how much you're worth to me. You're worth Jesus to me. You're worth Jesus to me. You're worth Jesus to me. No more, no less. Everyone in this room is worth, if you're a believer, you're worth a Jesus to God. And that's our self-worth." Sorry, just finish my sermon in like 5 minutes. So, long story short, as we are on this journey to find our identity, I think one question for us to pray and share is, what defines you? Is it your ethnicity? Is it your childhood? Or is it the fact that you're transformed by the gospel of Christ, that you understand that you're made in God's image after His likeness? Is that the core? Is that the center of your identity? And so getting groups of, I don't know, how do we usually do this? Three to five people. And just kind of share what really defines you. You know, what do you feel like is the core value that drives you to do the things you do, to make the decisions that you make, and how is the gospel transformed? How are you transformed by the gospel? I know it's kind of vague, but I feel like this is one of those occasions where the tension in the gospel happens, you know, that we truly understand our identity is defined by God and not by anything else. Okay? All right, now let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we come before you today, Lord, and we humbly submit ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our souls to you, Lord. And we ask this question, Lord, what defines us? What do we let define us, Lord? Are we... Father, when I come here this morning, I see a gracious community, Lord. So we ask the question, are we gracious by culture, or are we gracious by your transformation? But when I come here this morning, I see believers, I see disciples. And we ask, Lord, are we living a life that manifests the gospel that you have graciously given us? And Father, for this week, at least, Lord, I pray all of us will reflect upon this question, Lord. What defines our identity? Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we make the choices that we make? And Lord, we submit our thoughts to you. And ask that you continue to do your work of transformation and sanctification in our lives. We summon all the people, all my brothers and sisters in this room to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we ask Pastor Lai to come up and deliver the message from heaven.
Thank you very much, Dean.
Okay. How about my speaker? Is he working? Okay. Not work. Huh? Okay, Miu. Yeah, it's on.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. Let's bow down our head and do a prayer again. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. We are so proud to have a Heavenly Father. Because his perfect character, and then we can not only adore but follow him. Lord, we also thank you for such a loving Heavenly Father who sent his Son Jesus Christ to die for our sin. And so that we know through our Lord, we know this Heavenly Father. We also thank you, Lord, you give us, each one of us, an earthly Father. Today is the Father's Day, even though our earthly Father might not be perfect, but however, through him, we understand your love, your care. Lord, just let's obey your word to really respect and to love our earthly Father, just as you command. Lord, we just pray for today. We let this meeting be handled by you. Let your spirit fill in each one of his hearts, so your word fill in us, and so we know we can grow by your grace and your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let us read the scripture first in Genesis chapter 5, 21 and 24. We would like to read aloud. Okay, let's starting from the beginning. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Let's read once again. I want to hear a loud voice. Okay. One, two, three. Okay. When Enoch lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Let's stay here. You know, Paul asked me to preach something how to follow Christ, since we are a Christian, you know, and how do we reveal our identity. And I pray and I thought, hey, that was a very, very role model, a good role model, and whose name is Enoch, you know, and in the Bible, so we can learn from him. You know, from these couple of verses, you know that Enoch is living a life really pleasing to God, to the degree he was taken away from the earth. You know, in the Bible, how many people do not experience that? And before he go up and then go to heaven, how many of them? 10? Well, only 2, I tell you. Enoch is one of them. The other one is Elijah. Okay. So why Enoch can go up to heaven without going through the process of death? There's a very strong reason, because he is walking with God and he pleases to God. Okay. Today we call Christian, you know, and you know, we have strong faith in God. Okay. But how do we show our faith? Okay. And then we have to have some deeds to show that what we believe. You will say, hey, Daniel, okay, you are a Christian. How do we show you are a Christian? Okay, your faith. Oh, I go to the church, Hong Six, every Sunday. Okay, is it the right answer or not? Okay, it's the right answer, but more than that, you know, not only go to the church, but also, you know, through your behavior, and then show that you are Christian. The Bible said that if you have faith, but without deed, your faith is dead. Is it true? Yeah. Very, very strong word. And we know that how Enoch showing that his identity in Christ, in God, by his faith, by his deed. What does this show? In the Bible said, he is walking with God. Walking with God is his deed to show that his faith in God. Yeah. That is very important. You know why we call Christian? There's a history. You know, the Christian name is a name back to almost 2,000 years ago. There are a believers in Jesus Christ, a community of believing in Jesus Christ, which in the church of Antioch, you know, and the people around the church Antioch are knowing that, oh, there are lots of Christians. There are lots of Jesus believers. And so they call them Christians. Why do they call them Christian? Because those people who follow Jesus, who believe in Jesus, have evidence in their life and telling those community, telling the people around the church, saying that, hey, they act like Jesus, they talk like Jesus. So why don't we teach them that they are, a little craze of Jesus? Okay, and that kind of quoting to those believers that to be Christian. So in other words, the Christian in Antioch Church, they really have a strong proof that showing that they what do they believe, you know. So today we are talking about, you know, today we are, you know, Christian. How do we show that we are Christian? We have to learn from Enoch, you know, and then he is a man walking with God to show that he is a Christian. Before talking about how he became, you know, a man of walking with God, let us define, you know, what is the meaning of walking with God. Okay, the next slide, so. What's the meaning of walking with God? Okay, A, walking with his heart. Let's read together. Verse A. Okay, make up. He has shown all you people what is good and what does the Lord require of you. to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. How about the next one? Okay, be walking with his message. Let's read together verse 14. Enoch, the seven from Adam, prophesies about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone, to convict all the ungodly of the ungodly acts they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the defiling words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumbles, fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. From these two verses, we can know the meaning of walking with God. You know, how did Enoch walking with God? I don't believe that he walking with God physically. You know, our Heavenly Father is in heaven. You know, and then when we are talking today, we're walking with Jesus. We are not talking about walking with Jesus physically, right? Jesus is in heaven right now, okay? You know, what does it really mean? I mean, these two verses tell us that, you know, from two directions. Number one, we walk with his heart. That means that our act, our behavior shows the character of God. What kind of character of God is? God is just. And also, God is love, and also God is humble. And God has so many, many characters, you know. And then, if we walk on this earth, how do we know that we walk with God? If our daily life shows his character, that people will know that, you know, we are different from the world. And these people have the character of God, so he's walking with God. That's a very, very important. Okay, and I heard lots of people giving us a testimony, say, hey, before he became a Christian, he was so hot-tempered, you know, he cannot endure, his endurance is in a very short span, short attention. But after he become a Christian, his life it has been transformed, you know, and he become a patient to dealing with people. I remember that, you know, after I become a Christian, you know, I dropped the habit of going secretly to take to read the pornography story, you know, which I loved to do before I become a Christian, you know, because God touched my heart, the Spirit revealed me, hey John, you need to live a life, you know, holy, you know. So this kind of character revealing that we are walking with God. That's one thing. The second thing is that, not only that, we love to share the message of Christ with other people. That's also walking with God. Because the Bible telling us that in these verses, Enoch is preaching the gospel. What kind of preaching? He is a great preacher. He's the first preacher about the second returning of Jesus Christ. If you study the Bible, you know, and that's a great preacher. Not only that, his message is convicting, I mean, the ungodly culture of his contemporary. You know, you read this couple scriptures, you know, how many times mentioning about ungodly? One, two, three, four, totally four. In other words, his contemporary, you know, the culture is so ungodly. What does it mean by so ungodly? Because the so ungodly means that people really walking their behavior, they do what they like. They think what they think is right. You know, their moral code. I mean, is their own standard. I mean, they are so self-centered. They self-indulgence in their desire and pleasures. That's so-called, ungodly. But if you are a Christian, are we bold enough to share the gospel with other people? Hey, Jesus Christ is coming back, you know. And then we bring the message of hope through the repentance of the sin. And then this is our message to this world. So this is what show that our value system is totally different from this world. You know, that is called walking with God, you know. So basically two things, very easy. One, your attitude, your character change, to like Christ. And secondly, you share your message. You know, share the gospel with other people. You know, Christ is coming back. We have to be totally accountable, you know, to Him in our behavior. And so we will get reward, I mean. And so this is what the Bible telling us, that walking with God. Okay, the second point is that, well, yeah, this is the content of walking God. So how can we practice a man of walking God? This is the second point. Let's go. Okay. Three ways we can learn from Enoch. Number one, walking with God in our early days. Let's read together. Verse 21. Right. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Let's stop here. Okay, walking with God starts in your early days. How many years old that did Enoch start to walk with God? Huh? Shin? 65. Is he too old? No. Yeah, good. Very smart. I think why we think Shin is very smart, talking about 65 years old in the day of Enoch, you know, the average people, you know, whose longevity is not 100, but 600, you know. You have 600 and then, divided by 65, probably about, you know, in nowadays, you know, we walk with God start with 10 years old. You have a longevity with 100 years, right? So he had a good start earlier start to walk with God. Why to walk with God as in early days, as young as possible, is good. Why? Because if you walk with God, you know, in your early days, you have a long time to influence this world, to do great job for the Lord, you know, and you bring lots of people to Christ. But however, you start late. Like for say, if you start at 90, at your age 90, and then how many years your longevity, only 100 years old, you know, how many years you can work for the Lord? Only 10 years, right? If you start 10 years old, you have 90 years to work for the Lord. Huh? So that's very important. You know, D.L. Moody is a great evangelist. We know in American in American Christian history, he preaching gospel every day. I mean, and every day through his preaching, lots of people get saved. One particular day, he preaching in an evangelistic meeting. He came back home, and then there's a guy asked him, "Hey, Reverend Moody, you know how many people get saved through your preaching?" Okay, what did he say? "Oh, 2.5." Okay. And the guy who asked this question understood right away, "Oh, I understand what you say, 2.5, not bad. You know what I mean? 2 adults get saved and 1 child get saved, 2.5, right?" But Moody say, "No, you are totally wrong. Not 2 adults and 1 child, but 2 child and 1 adult. Okay, you see? Why is that? Moody's perspective, you know, children have a longer life to live with Christ, have a greater opportunity to do the work for the Lord, right? And, you know, then the adult, okay? Like many of you so young right now, okay? You have a greater opportunity to do the law for me, for the law, okay, than me. Probably I am less than 1/2. You know, today I'm 60 years old, and then if I had 10 more years to live, I only have 10 years to work for God. But you guys, I mean, 20, less than 20, and then you have, I mean, so many years, 50, 60, 90, okay, years to work for the Lord, you know. So that's what, I mean, Moody means that, I mean, from the longevity perspective, you young people have an early start to walk with God, have more opportunity and greater potential to do the word of God and to bring lots of people to be saved. And also, you know what happened? when you're young, your memory is good. You know, how do I suggest you to really develop an early days to walk with God? I encourage you to pray and to study the Word of God as much as possible, because you're young. And then you develop a vital relationship with God. You know how to, work with God, and also study the Word of God, and then let the Word of God infiltrate you, and then in your whole life, your life will reveal the character from what the Bible said. You know, one thing I encourage you to do very specifically, I encourage you try to memorize the Bible, you know, every day. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody memorize the Bible words, you know, every day? Raise your hand. Nobody? And how about every week? Nobody? Every month? Wow, what a disappointment. I tell you, 2 weeks ago, you know, in our Awana celebration night, I was so surprised, totally overwhelmed. I mean, two of children who are great students, okay, below, not junior high, one of them is third grade, another one is fourth grade. They stand up on the pulpit, they recite the Bible books by order. Like for say Genesis, and the second book is Exodus, right? And Leviticus, right? And all those books from Genesis to the end of Revelation, he just remember and tell us very fast without one mistake. Are you surprised? No, you can do that, right? To me, it's very surprised that, you know, because I couldn't do it, okay? And more surprised, there's another kid, he reversed. I mean, starting from Revelation, Jude, and also 3 John, and 2 John, 1 John, da-da-da-da, up to, Genesis, without one mistake. I think, in my heart, I tell my wife when I go back home, hey, dear wife, today I see something, just unbelievable. We find out that kid who in the future probably to be the president of the United States. Why is it? Because this kid can memorize such a thing in such a powerful way. My wife told me that, hey, easy for young kid, okay? But for me, it's difficult, okay? And later on, I think it's true. Do you think it's true? Huh? Do you think it's true? I mean, when you are young, you are very easily to memorize, the Bible. I tell you, I encourage you, before my graduate study finished, I memorized the whole book of the Testament from, Matthew to the Revelation. Not the sequence, but one paragraph by one paragraph. Each book, I memorized all of them. Roman, I remember twice. I tell you the truth, okay? And why I told you this thing, right now, all the books, the Bible books, I easily reflect from what I learned when I study the Word of God, and then the Spirit energizing me and stimulating me the words of God, and so it will help me to avoid the temptation. It will help me to show the character of God. Okay, so that's a very, very important, you know. And that's one thing, you know, you had to start walking with God in your early day. The second thing, you have to walking with God, you know, let it happen in your daily life. Next point, okay. Walking with God, you know, in our daily life. Let's read together, verse 22. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. I tell you, walking with God is not only happen in the church. I believe that walking in God, you know, in the church is very easy, because we are surrounded by lots of Christians, you know, and non-Christians is not that many. You know, we can share with them about the gospel. We can show the godly character to them because the environment is perfect, right? But when you're going home, the Bible says not only that, you have to walk with God in your daily life. You know, just like Enoch. What did Enoch walk with God in his daily life? How did he do it? You know, you read it very carefully. Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and have other sons and daughters. I do not know how many children does Enoch have. But if you have children, I mean, the whole working schedule upside down. I mean, Wushun, do you have time to study the Bible when you have kids? He laughed. Okay. I know that if I had a child, boy, the total working schedule is different. It's hard to walk with God. Okay. But however, the Bible said, walking with God, it doesn't mean really mean only focus in the church, but also in your daily life, in your family, in your school, in your social circle, everywhere. You know, that shows that you are a man of God, you are walking with God. You know, that's very important. Why I say this, I think this is very appropriate today. We have in our congregation, we have how many children? We have 7 newborn babies, right? And then you start your family, and that's very important. You need to start to walk with God. Maybe before you have children, you walk with God very easy with all you have with your spouse, okay? And then, very easy, study the Bible, talk about the Bible, or do the witness, and then easy. But after you have child, oh, the schedule is full, and you need more patience, you need more energy, and it's not easy. But however, God told us that we have to walk with God in our daily life. You know, what suggestion I give you to walk with God in your daily life when you have children? I encourage you to start a family devotion. What does it mean by family devotion? That means that no matter how busy you are, you know, every week or once a week or twice a week, you gather together with the kid together to worship God. No matter how long, how short, it doesn't matter. The matter, you have the family devotion. You know, from the Bible, we know that Abraham, Isaac, and also Jacob, you know, these 3 family, they have faith in God. Why? They have one characteristic. Which is the same, that they build up the altars. You know, whenever they go, they build altars to worship God. They sacrifice the family, they worship God. So the children of each generation have the faith, and so they know they have to respect God, to walk with God. So this is the same thing for us today. If we want to walk with God in our daily life, we need, especially with the children, I mean, we have to build up a family devotion. I remember that, you know, Angela can tell you, when we have her 4 years old and Jonathan 2 years old, and we start have a family devotion. What do we have family devotion? You know, how can you let kids, hey, Pastor Lai, you need to preach him for a half hour? Forget about it. We just sit down and let's start a word of prayer, and we all together watching a video for 20 minutes. The video is called Mr. Quickly, right? And every time they have some puppet show, and so with the image and with the theme of the Bible, and then everybody enjoy and the kid understand. Let's pray together. So we develop that kind of devotion every week, you know, and later on, even up to now, we get a time together, you know, for devotion, but not watching the video, and then, but not very frequent. But however, we try to make time, sometimes once a month, sometimes twice a month. We gather together, we pray to God. As a family, we worship God. So that will help us to build up, you know, our character and build up our faith in God and to practice, you know, walking with God in our daily life. This is the second point. The third point, let's go to the number 3. Walking with God, you know, persists in our longer days. Okay, let's read together. Verse 23. All together, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. How many years, I mean, did Enoch walk with God? Huh? How many years? Huh? 300. You think it's too long, huh? 300 years, not one day, not one month, not one year, not 10 years, but 300 years, you know. And the Bible repeating, Enoch walked with God consistently and faithfully. Yeah, that's very, very important, you know. We bring up a question, why God want us to walk with Him, you know, persistently, so long? Have you figured out any reason for that? You know, I figure out one reason. This is the only reason God want us to walk with Him, because He loves us. Now, thinking about, you develop a relationship with somebody. If you really care about somebody and love somebody, do you really want to be with him all the time? Yes or no? Definitely yes. You know, you walk with your wife because you love him. You want to be with him all the time, right? That's what God wants us to do. We love God. We want to walk with God. But on the other side, God wants to walk with God. Walk with us. That's very, very important concept. Not one way of communication, you know, but both ways. Just like Dean said, okay, why we are so precious in the sight of God? Because we are created in His image. You can see so many pets, even wonderful dogs, they never see God, they never walk with God, because they have no image of God. But we are human beings. We are created with the image of God, so God cares about us, walk with us, you know. And more than that, something very, very important. When God walks with you, He wants to show you His plan, you know. The Bible said, God confines those who fear Him. He wants to show His covenant with those people who love Him. You see, this verse is so wonderful. That means that God has lots of plan. The plan of blessing, a plan for this world, the plan for you, He wants to tell you. But if you don't want to walk with Him, how can you listen to Him? You understand? Like you read the Bible, Abraham is a man of God walking with Him. Did God tell him something? You know, God tell him lots of things, even to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. However, God say, how can I hide this plan to my friend Abraham? Let me tell him something what I'm going to do. You know, you have a good friend. When he wants to do something, do you think that he will tell you? Yes, definitely. Right? God has lots of good things want to tell you. But the point is that, do we really walk with God? I tell you a event which really touched my heart. You know, I have a passion for prayer. You know, I really have a passion that I want to unite all home of Christ Church, even over world, you know, and to join a prayer rally, you know. And then in the Bay Area, I mean, this year, September 17, we had the third year prayer rally in Faith Home, okay. I mean, all the home of Christ in Bay Area are encouraged to go to attend this meeting, you know. Prayer ministry is so vital, but prayer ministry is not easy. If you want to experience what does frustration in ministry mean, go to do prayer ministry. don't laugh. This is true, okay? I tell you, it's not easy. But however, God, even pastor, you don't believe me, you give yourself a test, okay? Test. Whether you are willing to sit down to read the Bible for half hours or you pray for half hour. Definitely, you will like, I pick to read the Bible for half hour. It's very easy to go. But you pray for half hour, that's really, really challenging, okay? After 5 minutes, is half hour done? After 5 minutes, is half hour done? This is your experience, my experience. So even pastor is not willing to pray, okay? But God laid a passion for me to motivate people to do this job. You know what happened? Recently, I tell you a wonderful news. I mean, before I went to Israel retreat, there's a pastor calling me. Hey, pastor, you know what happened? I know you are a man of prayer. I mean, always going up to the prayer mountain. Why don't you do that? After you come back to Israel, call me up. You know, I want to follow you to go to the prayer mountain. I went to the prayer mountain once a week, you know, and to pray, to spend time with God, and then it's wonderful. Huh? And this pastor called me, and this is a Greek pastor in the West, in the East Coast. And after coming back, I wait for 3 weeks, and then give him a call, have a call. Hey, are you interested to go with me? Oh, I said, definitely, I will go. You know what happened? I will recruit the other pastor to go along with you too. Okay. You know what? One of the pastors I recruit, you know who? Well, who will follow my direction? I will go up to the prayer mountain, you know. His name is Thomas Wen. Okay. I do not know who, you know who is Thomas Wen. Do you know him? Nobody know. He is a big guy. Okay. In Chinese Christian circle, he was conducting the Lausanne Congress globally for Billy Graham. You know, many, many years ago, he did wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ministry. And he is a spiritual giant and follow this little pastor line to go up to mountain to pray. Incredible. I can tell that he's so humble. But I can tell you why I tell this evidence to you. God seems working something in my life through this project. You know, that's why I'm telling you that. I mean, I just want, you know, I hope that Home of Christ 6 Mandarin, I mean, English congregation would do the same thing, take the leadership of uniting all the Home of Christ someday to go up to prayer mountain. I mean to form a meeting to pray to God. You will see God's blessing. Nowadays, you know, I don't look down upon prayer. Prayer is the vital thing. You know, many weeks ago, I preaching the gospel, and God gave me a burden through prayer. Hey, John, you need to do something. You need to make an altar call. I mean, this morning. And I preaching a gospel, a passage, and then talking about following the risen Christ. After preaching, God touched me. Hey, you need to make an altar call, which I haven't done for more than 10 years. I said, if anybody of you have a desire to follow Christ and to go to the seminary, if God's calling you, please raise your hand. Please come forward, kneel down, and we pray together. You know how many people coming? About 9 people. I feel so touched. I think this is just telling us that, you know, if you walk with God, God will tell you lots of things to accomplish His goal and give you blessing and reveal His plan to you. Okay, finally, this is the most important thing. Finally, are we able to become a man of God? The answer is yes, with the help of His Holy Spirit. Let's read together verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His purpose. The good news is that we are not doing God's work, walking with God by ourselves. We are walking with the help of His Holy Spirit. I mean, after we become Christian, the Holy Spirit indwelling us, energizing us to do His will. This is the gospel. This is not religion. You know, so we are confident that we can accomplish this goal. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Enoch. He is a role model for us. Lord, he walked with you. And in his early days, he walked with you. In his daily life, he walked with you in longer days. Lord, teach us. We know that we are not trusting ourselves, we're trusting your Spirit. Your Spirit will guide us to do your word and to look to be Christ-like. Lord, we thank you so much. We pray that your word will really indwell in our heart, energize us to accomplish your goal. We pray this in Jesus' name.